Let the light out of your heart and out of your life be the advertisement for following Jesus, not the words out of your mouth. The best sermon you will ever preach will require no words. The best sermon you will ever preach is the way you live your life. It's the message of your life. Like, we're called to love God's people. All people are God's creation, all of them. And you can love somebody while not changing your boundaries. I believe God put a specific light in your heart for a purpose, for you to shine it into this world in a way that nobody else can, a light that is unique as the print on your finger. And our job is to take that light and go love people with it in this world. Everywhere you go, you have a ministry. You don't just have to be a preacher to have a ministry. Your light is your ministry. It's how you shine it at your job, at your family, at the dinner table with your friends, at the movies, at the park, at your apartment. Everywhere you go, you are made to shine your light. Do it. Be it. Love people. Be kind. Honor them. Honor yourself. This is made to shine.
Did y'all just see that? I just dropped a painting. I knew I was fidgety, but I didn't know. Like, this thing just literally came off this dashboard. Or not dashboard, off this wall. I was just about to ask if y'all could hear me. I have no idea. Are we going to try to pretend like we know how to do this?
I don't know.
I don't know, folks. I feel like maybe. I feel like this is a concussion waiting to happen. Okay.
That is so crooked. Those of you that are like the aesthetically pleasing brain are going to freak out. No. Okay. I just cannot, you know, freak out and impact that. I was trying to. So when I do these, I like to be like sitting on my foot. I know it's kind of weird, but I am a mess right now. I'm trying to get my pink chair looking cute in my new studio, and this is just, hair's a mess. That's a mess. How we doing, folks? How we rocking and rolling? Per usual, I'm so excited to be spending this Thursday with you. It is currently Tuesday. It is currently after work, and my brain's a little chicken fried, you know what I mean? But we got a lot of pink going on. We've got my pink electrolytes. Y'all know. That's how this Tuesday went. I had, like, in my sales job, I had two contracts out that I was really excited to get signed, and they did not get signed today, and I feel like that is just a great testament for my Tuesday. But it's okay. It's about to get better because I am spending it with y'all. Happy Thursday. I'm excited for today's conversation. It's funny. So throughout the week, I have like all these ideas for what I want to talk to you guys about. I try to record one of these like once a week. And throughout the week, I get all of these ideas for like, okay, what's this week going to be? What's next week going to be? And this week I was torn. I was very torn between what I wanted to talk to y'all about, but I landed on this because I think it's very relevant. And actually, one of my new friends, Allison, she just, her book just came out, Arise to Shine. And we just had the best conversation, and what something that came up very practically about this very thing I want to talk to you guys about. It inspired me just to get out there and to share this with you all, because the other day, there's a sweet girl that messaged me on Instagram about one of these podcast episodes. And she was saying that she was going through a season where basically she's in college and she decided she wanted to get really serious about her faith. Do I have mascara like all over? You know, when you have the mascara sweats, like just from the day your face gets sweaty and like mascara runs down your face. I call it the mascara sweats, but whatever. I think I have that. That's okay. That's kind of on brand with how this podcast video episode has gone so far. But anyways, this girl is talking about how she is trying to be more serious in her faith and committed to Jesus. And like with that comes some lifestyle changes. And it's this weird interaction where she went to college, having come from a place in high school where like a lot of people, a lot of her friends, they were believers because like their parents told them to be believers, but they didn't really have a faith of their own. And so, you know, there was a lot of values or lack of values present that she never had a problem with because again, like she just kind of adopted this Christian faith as her own, as her parents' faith, and she adopted it. And she never really thought like, do I want to do this for myself? And so coming back from college, she's like, wait a second. A lot of my friends, like, we just have different values. And she opened up to me about how she recently had a really tough conversation with someone she's been friends with for years, like since she was a little girl. And her friend basically said, like, I don't know if I can be friends with you anymore because you are taking your faith so seriously. And I can see it, like your values have changed and you don't want to go out anymore. And you don't want to like talk about the things we want to talk about. And I can't, like, I don't think we could be as close. And she was really struggling with that because it's like, you want to follow Jesus, but then you're also like, but I really love my old friends. And what do you do? And I think a lot of us, we're in that spot way more than we think about. Like, I know for me, I went through something similar where it wasn't even like faith oriented, but you naturally grow as people. And what do you do when values you've recently adopted now conflict with previous relationships that were contingent on other values you had in the past? And I think that's a very, it's a very common thing. It's a very hard thing to navigate. It was hard for me in the past. It's hard for me now. And I think the crux of what I want to talk to and speak to today is what we're called to do when we're around people that don't believe what we believe. What we're called to do when we are trying to be lights of the world, but we're around a lot of darkness. And something else that kind of inspired this conversation is, I had a great guest on a few months ago and she was phenomenal. But I'm the first to say, like, I have so many amazing guests on, but I don't necessarily always agree with what they say. And that's just the nature of kind of what we're talking about today. Like, you can still be cordial. I think nowadays when you don't agree with someone, we associate it with an argument. We associate it with tension and violence and like you can't be friends with someone you don't agree with. I completely disagree. I think you can be with somebody that you have dinner with and it's cordial and it's wonderful and you don't agree on everything. Just because you don't agree with somebody doesn't mean you don't love them. And that's what I want to talk to you today. But anyways, I had this guest on and she was phenomenal, but she was talking about how like as Christ followers, we need to be surrounded by Christ followers. And like who you surround yourself with is so important and you should not surround yourself with people that don't believe in the same values as you. And I totally agree with having high values for who you let speak over your life. But I don't agree that we shouldn't surround ourselves with people that think differently than us. Because I mean, I look at Jesus's life. Where did Jesus do his ministry? He wasn't in the synagogue for most of his ministry. He was sitting with the prostitutes. He was sitting with the tax collectors. Like he was sitting with the people that weren't following the law. And I even think nowadays it's so funny to me when people are like, as Christ followers, we've got to only be friends with Christ followers. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I think some of my best ministry is in places that like there are no church ties. There's no church context. Like the office, the very corporate office where there's a lot of words being said that are not biblical. There's maybe some sexism going on. There's, you know, there's things going on that you're like, I would never associate this with Jesus. That's where some of my best ministry takes place. Because think about it. Light shows up the most when there's darkness present, because you have that contrast. People can identify light the most when there is darkness present. Right now, there's a huge light in front of this computer to make my skin look good when everything else in the background is not, right? So the reason there's such, like, that light is so prominent is because everywhere else in my apartment right now, there's a lot of darkness. Like, I don't have any other lights on in my apartment. There, it's dark outside too. Like, that allows for this contrast of this glow light to be able to show everything on me, even like the fake tanner on my hands. You know what I mean? And so, which is actually a problem. Thank you, Jergens. But all that to say, we only really see the power of light when there is darkness present. If I shine my flashlight in a room that was already lit up, you wouldn't see the light as much. But when I shine it and it's dark, that's when the value of it is really seen and appreciated. It's the same thing in life. Like, you are called to be a light of the world. You are called to be a light on the hill, a city on the hill, right? Well, how do you see the light most? It's when it's dark out. So I think as Jesus followers, we're called to go be friends with people that don't look like us. We're called to go be in circles with people that don't look like us, in places other than the church, to do ministry. Like, I was talking about this with my dear friend the other day, who's building out this amazing young adults program in Atlanta. And he is in the church, but he says, like, all of his ministry takes place outside the church. It takes place at lunches, at coffees, at dinners, in the bar. Like, he goes and he seeks out people that don't even know they need Jesus, but need Jesus. And guess what? A lot of those people are not coming to the church. And so all that to say, when it comes to being friends with people that look and think and act differently than you, I think it's so important to do that, because we are called to be lights of the world. Now, there's a difference between being friends with someone, sitting with someone who thinks and acts and looks differently than you, and letting that person speak over. I just had a hiccup. Oh my gosh. So the painting fell off the wall. I have mascara smudges all over my face, and now I have the hiccups. This is literally done beats perfect for you. All that to say, there's a difference between walking with someone, being kind to someone, loving someone, being such a light for someone that they literally are like, what do you know and who do you know that I don't? Because I want that light in my own life. I think that's what we're called to do. There's a difference between that and letting someone speak over you and letting someone have the power to dictate what is spoken over you, right? Like, for me, when I am looking for advice, when I am looking for guidance, when I'm looking for direction, I'm not going to go to the people that don't believe in Jesus. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to my mentors that have a faith that to me is deeper than my own and stronger than my own, because they've walked with Jesus longer than me. Like, I am going to let them have influence over my steps. Of course, speaking to God first, but I'm going to let them have influence over my steps. I'm going to let them paint direction for my steps. There's a difference between sitting with someone and letting them speak over you. And that's what I think we need to get better understanding. When you sit with someone that looks and thinks and acts differently than you, maybe like they are the kind of person that they're having sex with their boyfriend before marriage, or they are drinking a lot, like they have an alcohol problem, or they are cheating on their girlfriend or cheating on their boyfriend, or they have an addiction to pornography, or they are addicted to their job. They're a workaholic. They're super greedy with their money. Someone who, is not putting their finances first towards the Lord, is not putting their body first towards the Lord, is really, struggling with gossip or judgment. Like, sitting with them being with them. Absolutely. But letting them speak over your relationships with your body and your money and your own like girlfriend, boyfriend, partner. No, there's a boundary there. We are called to be lights of the world. And so I think like if you don't have, I think this is actually a great thing to reflect on. If you don't have people in your circle that look and think and act differently than you, I think you need to broaden your circle. It's so important. Ben Stewart puts it this such a great way. Like he was in a cafe once and he was talking to a woman that was Muslim and they had this beautiful and very like this cordial friendship conversation. And she asked him like, why don't you think our people can get along? Like we've gotten along in this 30-minute conversation. And he went, well, what do you believe? And she went into what she believed. And he said, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And she goes, don't say that. And he goes, whoa, what was that? And she was like, don't say that. Like, you're not allowed to say that. Jesus was not the Son of God. And he goes, that's why there's so many issues with our people. He goes, people can't, they don't understand that, like, when you believe two different things, you can still be cordial and friendly while still staying true to your convictions. And he goes, for me, like Jesus said, like I am the cornerstone. You're either going to stumble on me or you're not, right? And so he's like, that's what I believe. All that to say, like if you don't believe that, I can still love you. Because independent of what you believe, because of what I believe you're a child of God. And I believe that if you were to accept Jesus into your heart, like in heaven is where you would go. Like independent of what you believe you're a child of God. So I will love you because that's what I'm called to do in Christ Jesus. And so I think about that girl that messaged me and that's what I told her. I was like, listen, you can't control if people reciprocate the love that you give them. Independent of where they're at, but you can control how you love that person and communicating that. And so for me in my life, like where I've been the past couple of years, which is, it's never perfect, but it's like, hey, listen, like if you're affected by the way that I live my life, my intention behind how I follow Jesus is I never want anyone to feel that I'm judging or condemning them ever. Like, no, am I going to have sex before marriage? No. If I'm speaking with a girlfriend that is doing that with her boyfriend before marriage, I never want her to feel that I think I'm better than her or I'm judging her. But I also want her to know that like, I do think there's something so much better for her by waiting. And so there's a way to love people where they're at while not settling your standards and lowering your standards, right? Like for me, what's another good example? I have boundaries with alcohol. Like alcoholism runs very heavily in my family. And so for me, like I have a 2-drink rule. Like I don't have more than 2 drinks if I'm drinking socially. I never really drink by myself. Like I'm not I need a bottle of wine kind of girl at the end of the day. Like that's just not me. Like I need a walk kind of girl. But if I'm at a social event with friends or my boyfriend or whatever have you, like, and I have a drink, 2 drinks is it. Like I was at a wedding this weekend. I had a glass of champagne and a margarita. And that was like, I'm not going to have more than 2 drinks. That's a boundary for me. Now, if I'm with people that like to drink and they, even if they like, they're suffering from alcoholism and they drink to black out, my hope is that by being with them and being a light for them, what that looks like for me is I'm not going to judge you for where you're at, but I'm also not going to drink. I'm not going to lower my standards and drink more than 2 drinks to make you feel comfortable. You know what I mean? And I think that's what we're called to do as Jesus followers. It's like, listen, I love you. And I think that there's so much better for you by accepting Jesus into your heart and following his ways. And I hope my life is an example of that. I hope I show you the goodness of that by example, not by judgment and condemnation. I hope I show you that you should want to do that by just the light that I have in my heart. Let the light out of your heart be the advertisement for following Jesus, not the words out of your mouth. Ooh, that will preach. Let the light out of your heart and out of your life be the advertisement for following Jesus, not the words out of your mouth. I once said, the best sermon you will ever preach will require no words. The best sermon you will ever preach is the way you live your life. It's the message of your life, right? And so I think that's what we need to remind ourselves, is that when you're in situations where maybe it's like that girl that messaged me and it's like, okay, I am really suffering from some friends not wanting to be around me right now. Or you're in a situation where it's like, it's coworkers and they're talking behind your back because you're not going to get wasted at the happy hour or the Christmas party. Or it's like, it's a boss or just whoever that's challenging the way you live your life. Recognizing what you're called to do is to love them independent of where they're at, even in their journey of Christ. Like, we're called to love God's people. All people are God's creation, all of them. And you can love somebody while not changing your boundaries. You can. That practically looks like communicating that. Being kind, being a light. And I think, again, you're not called to have people around you that look and think and act just like you. Jesus was the Son of God. He was perfect. He had no sin. And he sat with the prostitute that was on husband number five. He sat with the tax collector. He went to the tax collector's house. He invited a tax collector into his discipleship. Shout out Matthew. You know what I mean? Like, he knew these things about people and he embraced them with open arms. And that's what we should want. Like, I once saw this video. It's one of my favorite videos today. It's basically of like this guy, and he was talking about parenting, but he put all of this dirt in a bottle of water. And he said, when you try to cast out imperfection and sin with hate and condemnation, that's like trying to manually pick out the specks of dirt from that water bottle with tweezers. It's irritating. It's frustrating because it doesn't work. But when you pour water into that bottle of water and the dirt is flushed out, that's when you come at it with love and light. Like, if I poured all this water into here, eventually any dirt in here would be taken into the current and would come out. And it's a lot easier of a process. And that's what we're called to do. And so when you are around people, well, one, if you're not around people that think and act differently than you, you should be. We are called to be lights in darkness. Light and darkness, I mean, darkness being whatever you want it to be, like sin. The preliminary baseline I want you to get there is like, they're two different things. So we're called to go and be a light with anything different than us. That can even be people that are Christians and think differently than you. Different denomination, a different way of looking at something. Actually, I was talking about this with another guy on the podcast. I'm so excited for you to hear that conversation. But he grew up and he was like, I was blessed because I went to so many different kinds of churches that had so many different backgrounds. So I was once at a church with like really rich white people, and then at a church with really poor black people, and then at a church with a little bit of everything. And he's like, it was so good for me in my faith because it just really showed me like, we are all God's children, all of us. And even though we might look and act and think differently and have all these different influences on us, all of our blood bleeds red. And love is what we all need in our heart. And love is a universal language. And Jesus knew that. And Jesus called us to that, to be love, because all of our blood bleeds red. Jesus's blood bled red. Our blood bleeds red. And our hearts beat love. That's how they were designed to beat. And all of our hearts respond to love. It's the universal language. You can feel it. It's been a while, but when I was in high school, I went to India, and I just remember like there's a language barrier, you know what I mean? And a lot of them didn't speak English, but when I was with those kids, there was love there. There was no language. There was no talking. but there was communication. There was no talking, but there was language being spoken, and it was love. We all understand love. It's not something you take a class on. It's something you innately know. And so my encouragement for you is have the courage and the boldness to go be the light in a dark world, which will require you to be in environments that might make you uncomfortable, might be with people that think and act and look differently than you. But remember, who you sit with is much different than who you let speak over you. Jesus sat with the prostitutes. He sat with the tax collectors. He sat with the sinners and the gossipers and the judgers. He sat with them. But when he was alone and went to go be alone with his father, it was his father that he let speak over him. It was his father that gave him instruction and guidance and direction. He sought his father for advice and prayer. He never asked the prostitute, "What do you think I should do?" He didn't ask Matthew the tax collector, "What do you think is the best next step? How do you think I should conduct my friendships? How do you think I should conduct my ministry?" He sought the Father for that. And that's the distinction, is it's like you have the power to go be light in a dark world and not conform to that world when you're seeking advice, instruction, mentorship from the people that are further along than you in their relationship with Jesus. First from God himself in prayer, and then from people that, again, they're further in their walk with Jesus. We are called to sit with those different than us and be a light in that place. But we are called to seek God to speak over us. And those are two very different things. So for my friends struggling with like, how am I allowed to be friends with different people? Is it a bad thing that like I'm a Christian, but I'm at the bars on a Friday night? Is it a bad thing that like I'm following Jesus, but I'm with friends that don't follow Jesus? I'm like, no, that's where we're called to go shine ministry. I'm telling you what, your friends that are like so good with Jesus and they're talking to Jesus and praying with Jesus, I'm so glad. But like, there's a lot of people that aren't in this world. And so if you are someone who knows Jesus, oh, I feel this so much. I could think I could start crying. If you are someone that knows God and knows Jesus, the best thing you can do is go devote your time to hanging out and shining that light with people who don't. But when you need to be spoken over, which is like every day, you seek that with the people who do know Jesus. And you seek that with your Heavenly Father. Okay? We are living in a world that is starving for God, and they don't even know it. Every single addiction, whether that's addiction to money, gossip, judgment, body image, followers, likes, clicks, drugs, sex, alcohol, every addiction, whether we realize it or not, we are looking for what only God can provide, which is everlasting fulfillment. And we're looking for it in all the wrong areas. And people are starving for what you can tell them you know, whether they realize it or not. You have the answer for what someone is starving to know, whether they even realize it or not. And so I encourage you, be friends with people that look differently than you. Be friends with people that talk differently than you. Be friends with the person who can't help but cuss in every second, because that's what they grew up being modeled, was normal communication. Be friends with the person who is literally so down in the dumps, the only thing that makes them feel better is alcohol. Be friends with the person who thinks sex with their boyfriend and sex with their girlfriend means an actual real relationship. Be friends with the person who is struggling with their body image and has an eating disorder that's crippling them inside. Be friends with that person who's addicted to their grades defining their worth, who's addicted to their sports defining their worth, who thinks they're only as good as their last accomplishment. Sit with that person and shine the light of Jesus and shine the freedom of Jesus. But only let God speak over you. and people who know Jesus speak over you. That will give you the stamina and the fulfillment to go into the world, but not be transformed by the world. Like it says, you know, like do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, the renewing of your mind requires there to be somebody speaking over you new thoughts into that new mind. And that is the people that are further along in their journey and the God of heavenly places. But we're still called to go into the world, just not be conformed by it. And that's how you do that. I really need to figure out this situation before my podcast interview coming. I'm sending you guys love. Lord, I pray that you just give everyone tuning in supernatural courage, discernment, and excitement to go be the light of the world, while first always making sure that who we are letting speak over us is you and your children you've strategically placed in our lives that can serve as mentors. Beautiful friend, I hope that this episode blessed you and brought a smile to your day. Hey, if we're not already hanging out on social media, go find me on Instagram. I'm typically living in my stories over there, or join my weekly email fam. You can find the links for that on my Instagram as well. You guys, I hope you were reminded from this episode today that you are a light and you are called to go shine it in all spaces that you hold. And if you love this podcast, I would so appreciate if you shared it with anyone that came to your heart. And or a review would help me so much. Love you guys. Go shine your light. See you next week.